Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you today for about 55 minutes or so. I have with me today someone that I have the greatest deal of respect, admiration, and wondered when he lost his mind and ran for city council. I tried to counsel him, but he didn't listen to me. Anyhow, his name is Matthew Wrenn. Full disclosure, I grew up with his mom and good friends with his mom and dad. And Matthew, in my opinion, and of course, everybody knows the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or the people that are driving like the hammers of Hades up and down William Street. I do want to remind some people and truckers, this is a school zone, just to let you know. Matt, welcome.
Thank you. And just a side note, there is some respite coming at the speeding on William Street.
Oh, good. Good.
So just keep your eyes open. There'll be a little break for that. Councilor Conant and I have been working together to handle some speeding issues in Ward 3 and Ward 4. So
yeah, it's coming. There was a car just now, a purple car. If he wasn't doing 70, he wasn't doing 10.
Doesn't surprise me.
No, me either. But with Herberg here, the school signs, I mean, God, what more do they need? But anyhow, Matt, in my opinion, Matt is, and this is a compliment, he's a lot like my friend Churchill Cotton when he was on the council. He didn't talk a lot, but when he did, everybody listened because he had something important to say. Matt, I tell you that as a compliment. I let the audience hear that as a compliment to you because to me, there's a lot of people who talk a lot, and that's just me. But so tell me, you happy you ran for council?
Yes, I absolutely am. Yep. So happy. In fact, I pulled the papers this morning to run again.
We need to talk. No, I'm only kidding. I am happy. I'm happy you're doing that. I think you're a voice of reason and logic, and you've represented your ward very well.
Thank you.
And, you know, it's easy for us to sit out here and criticize or whatever counselors, but it's an awfully hard job. Awfully hard job. And in this respect, all you hear, I mean, very rarely does somebody call you up and say, hey, thanks for doing that, or thanks for being on the council. Let me say this to all the council, thanks for being on the council. You know, I don't always agree with some of you, all of you, all the time, but I applaud your courage to be on the council and stand up for what you believe.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That means a lot. And that's a comparison to Mr. Cotton is pretty remarkable too. And those are big shoes to fill on my end. So that means a lot.
Well, thank you. And he's been a friend of mine for longer than you've been born. So and that was it. I mean, there were others through the years. They didn't say a lot, but when they did, people listened because it was valuable stuff, you know? And you some really tough things this last year you guys have handled. And now, lucky you, you're getting into budget season.
Like Christmas in the spring.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I read yesterday on the Boston Globe that Trump has cut a ton of money out of the federal money coming for education to the state. So that's...
Well, doesn't surprise me.
No. No, and that's going to really affect all the school systems. And so, I mean, I don't envy you guys and gals on it. It's a big deal. Putting a budget together for this city with all its, you know, its goodness and greatness, but it also has its slips and balances.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm better prepared this year than last year. I have an expectation now going in. I know what to prepare for. I know what to look into, but prior to meetings, and I know it's okay to meet with different department heads prior to the budget hearing just to get clarification, so we're not, kind of bottlenecking, during the budget hearings and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think it's there's going to be some difficult choices that need to be made. Some difficult discussions that probably have to happen, but it's unfortunate that it is what it is. It's a necessary evil.
And I applaud the way everybody, including the mayor, they're approaching the budget. They're open-minded, kind of what, paraphrasing what you just said, there's going to be some tough decisions. And I guess what I like about this mayor and about this council is they come up front and tell people that it's not going to be all peaches and cream. There's going to have to be some cauliflower in there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you can't promise the world. I don't want to see taxes increased as much, any money anywhere at all. That affects me. It affects my family. It affects my day to day. But like I said before, we got to make some tough choices. And if we have to cut some things, then we're going to have to. I my opinion is going to be that I think we're going to see more cuts this year on things than last year. Like you said, there's going to be a deficit with federal money coming in. Not just in the schools at this point, I mean, eventually we might see some deficits in other departments, especially public safety. And I don't want to cut from that stuff. We can't cut from public safety. What makes it's what keeps our city going.
And right now, and can I just do my little campaign speech here? That at my age, you
Absolutely.
don't at my age, you don't run for things, you run from things. But here's my look at we talk about Pittsfield becoming an aging city. And I guess what I my thing and keep in the back of your head when you get reelected is show me, don't talk to me. Show me more handicapped parking spaces. Show me more curb cuts, for wheelchairs. And what I see people struggling with walkers. No more Dunham Mall kinds of things. Not, is it no, not, is it Dunham Mall? Yeah, the connector between City Hall and North Street with the bricks. I watched a lady the other day trying, and God love her, she made it, but it took a lot out of her to make it.
I mean, we have to be mindful of, even during the whole trash transition this past year, I was very mindful of my elderly folks, trying to make arrangements for them to get the backyard trash pickup
Thank
or,
you for
make
that.
it as easy as we could,
Yeah, and thank you for that. Thank you for having that concept. I have to say this, I'll get in trouble probably, but not officially in trouble, just people who, one, don't like me, and two, don't like Casella. And it doesn't necessarily, it depends on what day of the week it is and what order it falls. But I think Casella's doing a heck of a job. Now, I know there's your colleagues on the council go bug crazy, but have you ever watched those guys drive those trucks up some of these narrow streets where there's parking on both sides? That takes a skill I don't have.
Yeah, and I mean, they're learning. There's ups and downs. There's a lot of, there's, it's
And
not
there
gonna, it wasn't gonna be an easy transition, and it's gonna take
no.
some time. And I think a year from now, we'll be sitting here going, it's working out for us. Knock
Oh,
on
I
wood, I
think
hope.
so. I think so. And I also think too what you said. I don't have a life, so I watch the meetings. Well, it's either you or national news, and quite candidly, I would rather watch the city council. But
Might be safer.
yeah, I admire Casella not being so defensive and admitting, yes, we've had some problems. Yes, we've missed a street. We're taking care of that. They're not defensive. But I think the city has to help too and say, okay, what's the garbage day, trash pickup day for your district? Thursday. Okay, Thursday, parking every other week on the left side, or parking, especially these narrow streets. Because I've watched those are big trucks, and we had people putting the things behind the snowbank. So
Yeah.
you can't make it
Yeah,
up.
it does take a team effort. I just recently helped out a constituent on some rental property. Actually, I think it wasn't in Ward 4 or Ward 3. It might have been in 4, but I was able to help, and it was just a big confusion for the pickup because it was re residential apartments, and then there was one of the apartments actually had their own private trash pickup, so there was some confusion, and we sorted it out, and knock on wood, so far so good. It's up and running. So
But that's what it takes, man. Don't you think? And rather all this ranting and raving, and I call it grandstanding, but that's just me. But it doesn't help anything. You
no, I mean,
know.
just because you're louder doesn't make you that you're right, and that was my biggest gripe with a lot of things. It's because you got more backing and you're louder than I am, that doesn't mean you're right and I'm wrong.
And that's why I wanted to say what I compared you with the great Churchill Cotton because of that. Churchill, half the time when I was talking to Churchill, and I was closer to him than I am to you on this, I couldn't hear him. He was so soft-spoken. You're right. It doesn't make you better. It doesn't make you smarter. Actually, sometimes it makes you look like an idiot because there's certain things you can
Speak
fix.
softly, carry a big stick, right?
That's what a famous man said. They had a great man, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt. What's been for you? You've been on now a year. What has been the most challenging of being a city councilor?
The most challenging thing for me has been, being, very responsive to my constituents and not being able to produce because it's been out of my powers. You
Right.
know, a lot of times there's a lot of different, variables involved. It makes it a challenge for me to complete a project or get some resources to some people, and it's out of my hands. No lack of effort on my end or no
Right.
lack of effort by my constituents' end. It's just, red tape, or there's something held up in permitting, or there's no money in the budget to do something. And this, your street's not beat up enough to get redone this year, but fiscal 26 we can figure. And those are the biggest challenges, because you see these streets and you're looking at them and you're saying, all right, I'm no engineer, but I can see that they're in rough shape. And I think they need, sidewalks. There's, even in my neighborhood over here in the Orchards, there's some old trees that are ripping through part the sidewalks, and elderly neighbors, they got to walk in the middle of the road
Yeah.
because it's unsafe for them to go up and down the sidewalks.
Yeah,
So that's the biggest challenge.
we kind of have the same thing here on William Street. It's old macadam, some got big stones coming up through it, or
Right.
but what has been the most rewarding thing?
Just the opposite of what my challenge is fulfilling, promises and re resolutions for people, and just knowing for the fact that that's at least one person you've made happy today, and you've made sure that their concern was met and their voices were heard. And that's, I mean, that's, I think that's, I've learned the lesson of being a ward counselor is, we're not changing the world. We're just trying to make their world better.
And sometimes it's as minuscule as cutting a tree down at Herbert that was dead, and they were afraid somebody was
Right.
gonna fall on some kid. That took me 3 years banging on the radio before. And
Yeah.
the ward council was great. He same thing, well, we don't have the money to cut it down. I'll get a damn chainsaw and cut it down. It's not. It's We're not talking ginormous tree.
I'm at the same point with a lot of projects where I'm like, let's rent an excavator. I'll get dirty and let's dig.
And the other day, and I mentioned this earlier, that boy, I'll tell you, I almost bought the farm on Hubbard Avenue on that bridge underneath the railroad. They got to do so. I don't care if they close the roads for a week and fix it, because now
Yeah.
the holes, people know, that drive it, no, I avoid it, but this I had to get to a place, and that was the shortest route. And boy, this lady, she knew where the holes were, and I happened to be in the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, they can keep fixing it and fixing it. It's just going to be in the same problem in a matter of days. Anytime, like, we talked about the other day, anytime it rains, it's going to pool water there, and it's going to, break down the mixtures, so hopefully now that it's warm out and the plant's open, they can get a better fix in there. There's some miscommunication with the railroad. I'm not sure the railroad is supposed to maintain that or not, but we've been filling it, and
Yeah,
it's a
no,
matter of you fill it and Monday and Tuesday it's already beat up.
Oh, it's not a condemnation of the DPW people at all,
Nope.
because
No.
I know that, and I don't know what the gig is with the railroad either. But I just wanted to get it off my chest because it was close. I mean, because I didn't think, I on my side, and I didn't think, and all of a sudden she knew where the hole was, and she pulled right in. It's a good thing I was going 3 miles
Yeah.
an hour, my normal speed. No, government can be frustrating at times, especially for guys like you that are on the front line, or as I like to boot you boots on the ground. You're not, you got the person calling you complaining to you as you're the last hope or whatever.
Yeah, and our DPW folks are they're very responsive to us. To
Very.
their credit, they'll be honest, like, "Hey, I can't get over there today, but I'll get there." You text them, "Hey, I got a pothole that's in dire need. Can you get that?" They'll, over it near East Side there on Newell Street, a couple months ago, they had a major
Oh.
pothole. They filled it; it didn't stick, and then within a day,
Yeah.
we put a steel plate down for them. So at least, we're not screwing up business for them. They can still park there,
Yeah.
stuff like that. So
I saw that, and I
they're
applauded.
helpful.
I applauded the city for that. I applauded to put the plate down until you can come up with a resolution. The plants
Right.
are all closed, and they're op they open up now, right? In April, I
Yeah,
believe.
they were out. They've been out. They're out there. The pothole patrol is out there combing the streets, so they're coming nearby. And like in Ward 3, Lyman Street's been a nightmare this year, as we talked about. And Berkshire Gas is doing work over there today, and
Yeah.
hopefully that road's going to be fixed up in the next few days, in the next week or so, and we'll be back to normal.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, and I think too, and I'm certainly not a weather person, but I have to say, I think it was an extraordinary, extra difficult winter. That's my take. The hot, the cold, the freezing, the ice for weeks on, week on end. My driveway was ice for probably a full week.
We go from, 40 degrees to 60, then back down to the 20s. I mean, it's not good mix for the roads.
And I think it's going to be that way for another couple of weeks, from what I've heard from the, I being retired, you kind of keep your hand on everything. We spent $150 this winter for salt. So, and I don't
Oh,
do
man.
the city. I just do my driveway and the sidewalk. So,
Yeah.
I as we look at these things, I think I have to ask you this. I don't know what ward it is. It might be your ward. The Elm Street, where the optician is and all that. The little mini mall down there where the on
Oh, William Street, the plaza.
William Street Plaza. How come they
Yeah,
didn't put
that's
sand
four.
there this year?
I don't know. I know in Ward 3, with the locations we had it, they kept it pretty well stocked this year. I'm not sure why. I don't
Because that has always been the
know.
sand. I have people stop and asking me, "Hey, is the sand down there?" Is it? And then I went down and there wasn't any sand. So I don't know. I don't know. I guess somebody said you're supposed to go to City Yards and get sand.
You can always go to City Yard no matter where you live, but I mean, again, if you live right there and it's easier,
Yeah.
to do. I don't know if there was as many locations this year as there were in years past to get sand,
Right.
but there was. I knew of at least one in Ward 3 that, I never used it, because I just don't want to clean it up. I'll use salt. I don't want to pick the sand up in the spring.
Yeah, no, you're kind of like me. But that had been on William Street forever. That was always a go-to place. And you got a lot, again, you have a lot of older people who've been going there for 30 years, and they go in and there. And as crazy as this sounds, I had a couple of people talk, where's City Yards? You know, if you don't, if you're not in that, it's not part of your life, then you don't necessarily know. But I think all in all, I mean, it sounds like we're griping. I don't mean to sound that way. All in all, I really think the city is really progressing pretty nicely, personally. That's just me. I mean, it's got issues, but
Every, you know, every city has issues. We're making strides. The housing issues, they're making strides in that. The White Terrace is pretty much completed.
looks
As
pretty
far as the
nice.
mayor had said this morning, they're doing some electrical work in there.
It looks
The
nice.
Jim's House of Shoes is getting built over, and that's going to be some housing.
Oh,
There's the
cool.
shelter on West Hoosie that's being completed as we speak. So there is some housing going out there. We're gonna work on that.
I saw Jim's today. It's gutted.
Yep.
I'm
Yeah.
gonna
This
be.
you can see the inside of it. It's
Yeah.
kind of bittersweet. Growing up here and seeing that
Yeah.
building and the carousel inside and buying shoes in there and it's gone. And
Yeah.
that's sad, but.
Yeah. But there's a lot. Now, you brought it up. I wasn't going to, but you dropped a carousel word. What? What's the gig on that? What's your best guess or best?
I for the well-being of the city, I wish them well and hope it's successful.
I do too.
I don't necessarily think the location is that great for foot traffic and it's not really I hope it is. Don't get me wrong. I hope it eventually turns into a destination location, but I don't I'm not very optimistic for it, to be honest. Like I said, I wish them all well, and they succeed, we succeed, but
Right.
it's
That's
I'm
a
not
great
sure
way
it's
to
going to
look.
go in that direction.
That's a great way to look at things. And I wish more and more people in government and boards and stuff would look at that. Wait a minute. Let's try to help them succeed. Because if they succeed, we succeed. Not hold them back or throw all these obstacles up. And and sometimes that's done under what do we call it? For the good of the city. Well, if you really worry
I mean,
about the good of
I'm sure, if my kids were younger, I would, we'd go there. Or,
Yeah.
I think the first batch of it, when my kids were younger, we took them there a few times.
Yep.
It just, I think there's some good people involved with it, so I think they're going to attract a different group of people. Summer's coming, people are visiting in the Berkshires, and they're gonna hopefully check it out.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think more and more people, we'll go back to it. I'm like you. I'm really hopeful that it will be successful because the people that carved all this, I can remember when they were at the mall, they had an old closed store. They were in there carving those horses and all that stuff. I mean, they put a lot of effort into that.
Yeah, that craftsmanship is remarkable. And if it doesn't work out, there's certainly a place for those horses. 100%. There's museums in the area. New England's notorious for having beautiful carousels. It could be somewhere. Hey, and if for all we know, that there could be the Wacona Park project that brings us the state-of-the-art stadium there.
Right.
At the perfect spot for a carousel.
Right. Right.
Honestly.
Right. And what's your take on the redoing of Wacona Park Stadium?
Well, I'm not in the camp of spending a boatload of taxpayer money to do so, but I'm also in the camp of if we can have a state-of-the-art facility and get a triple A or a double A baseball program on board,
Yeah.
get some of the area colleges on board, start hosting youth tournaments there, maybe save some money by not going to BCC for our high school sports and going over to Wacona Park and doing them there again. Maybe. Of course, it's selfishly it's a staple I grew up with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it needs to be there. I just hope it's a feasible way that a feasible manner we can get it to keep stay there.
Well, they still haven't, because I drive by there a lot, they still haven't, in my opinion, they still haven't handled the flooding issues. I mean, the parking
And
lot
that's the
still
biggest
flooding.
issue. That's the biggest issue. I mean, we're being, from what I've read, they're telling us that they can remediate that and build up on it and eradicate the flooding, but what at what cost? Does the risk, does the reward outweigh the risk and taking the money to do that? So we got to see how it progresses. I can't really make a 100% assessment on it until we see the numbers and the architecture and
But
the
if they
bill.
can't solve that flooding problem, I don't know how. And I love that stadium. I mean, like you, I grew up in that stadium. I played on that field. But and now, of course, there's this hanging over our heads is the possibility that they're going to cut the Corps of Engineers money. So will that affect, it's like a ripple effect for everything today.
I think everybody's scared about federal money now.
Oh, they ought to be.
Even the grants that haven't even applied for yet, people are probably concerned. I know there's some Department of Transportation grants that are in kind of a holding pattern now, and some of that affects us directly, and some of the road work that, was a federal road work from the Department of Transportation is now, in it's bottlenecked somewhere in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, and I guess tonight or the for the people, we are recording this on April the 2nd. I guess tonight the president is going to talk about his tariffs and whatever that means. So, but interestingly enough, I was in a store the other day, and the guy said, "Are you here to buy a grill?" No, man, it's cold out. I don't grill when it's hot. And I don't grill when it's hot. But and I said, "No, why?" And they said, "Before the tariffs." And I thought, that there's a lot of logic to that. I don't know. I guess if you're going to buy a car, now's the time. If especially
Well, I
not
mean,
an American car.
well, look at the interest rates on car loans now too. So that's another struggle we're having is, that's why we, I'm trying to really focus on what's happening here, you know what I mean? I know the federal stuff affects everybody, but if we can make a difference here and stop worrying about the big picture and start worrying about what's happening in our community, we need to move forward here.
The only drawback with that, in my opinion, is we get so much money. Look, we got
I
what,
know.
$40 million from Congressman Neal ARPA funds, or one of them. So I mean, that's the drawback. But I hear what you're saying too. We have to look at what we, I guess, can afford. Because we can't keep raising taxes on either business or individuals.
No, I mean the business taxes are high enough. I mean, it's a big portion of our budget's going to it's the schools and retirement, and workers' comp is a huge blemish on
Huge.
our budget, and it's out of our hands, and it's sad you have to open up your tax bill at the beginning of the year and hey, there you go, there's a 3% increase. It's like, all right, well, my house is worth 60 grand more now, but I'm not selling for a while, so where's that put me in the
And if I try to sell, I'm not sure the
poorhouse?
people get the loan. So there you go. Hey, we're going to take 1 minute break. I'm here with Matthew Wren, Wartree City Councilor. Someone, as I said at the beginning of the show, I have a lot of respect and admiration for. He's not a grandstander in any sense. I compared him with the wonderful Churchill Cotton for people who remember Churchill. He didn't say a lot, but when he did, everybody stopped and listened. It was like that commercial. I forget what it was, when someone saw everybody listens. And Matt is the same way. I watch the council meetings, and when he speaks, he has something to say. And it's to the topic. Another thing, maybe just off the top. Hey, we're going to take a break. I got to get myself out of here, Matt, or we'll be in trouble, or I'll be in trouble again, still, perpetually. This is 89.7 WTBR FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV. Good news. We are reaching down in the southern Berkshire, and we are live down there in the morning. Not live, but this program airs at 7:30 in the morning at 88.1 FM on your radio dial. So please, Southern Berkshire, if you're interested, give me a call. I'm more than happy to have you on and interview you. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Wonder what happened to those great local PCTV channels? Did you lose them? No worries, they're still there. Go to cable channels 1301, 1302, and 1303 to watch the best local content on television. News and information, sports and entertainment, city council, school committee, July 4th parade, it's all there waiting for you. Pittsfield Community Television. For over 30 years, we are still your local television.
This summer, the City of Pittsfield will release its first cultural plan, and we want you to be a part of this exciting event. Funded by the National Endowment for the Arts, Our Town program, the plan includes contributions from cultural organizations and partners that make Pittsfield great, and with input from community members like you. Whether you're an artist, audience member, producer, or creative hobbyist, this plan is for you. So stay tuned to lovepittsfield.com this summer for more information.
People tune in to hear the latest local and national news.
That's not us.
People tune in to hear the latest music.
That's definitely not us.
People tune in to hear political pundits expound on politics.
No, 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 that's not us.
How about people tune in to hear entertaining stories, jokes, odd topics, and laughter?
Oh, yeah, that's us. That's Stuff.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 8:30 to listen to the latest Stuff with Bev Prentice and Lynn Arsenault on 89.7 WTBR-FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Hey, we're back. I'm here today with Ward 3 City Councilor Matthew Wren. He, in my opinion, he's one heck of a city councilor in that when he speaks, he has something important to say. And he's a builder. That's the other thing I like about him. He wants to resolve problems and build this community, and we can do it. And I think we have a team in there now that can do it. We have some elections come. Now, this year is an election year for councilors, right?
Yep.
Off-year election, yeah. So just I would highly encourage all of you to watch the city council meetings and the subcommittee meetings because you learn a lot. I can remember their wonderful good friend who's left us, Lou Markham. We did a show every meeting, before every meeting, and we did a bet how long the meeting would last. And he lost a lot more than I did. But you learn so much by watching the meetings. And I remember the one thing that it was a call-in show, Matt. And so this person called and said, I can't understand how the city council can spend $2 million like that in a two-minute talk. Well, Lou explained, wait a minute, it went through the finance committee, the raising, you know, all the committees that it went through. And this was just like the imprimatur on what those committees did. And so it was like a civics lesson. And I like to do that because I want people to understand, like you are saying, we have to be careful with our money. We really do. And if people like you, with that thought process, to me, makes me feel good that you're thinking. Last story, guy come up to me and they were going to buy a truck. And I guess the truck was like $50,000 or $55,000. And he said, well, do they need it? And he said, you know, they were bantering back and forth. And the one was, well, it's only 50, whatever it was. And the guy responded, I don't make that much a year. So, again, everything is relative.
Right. And you don't want to, you know, don't want to leverage the city with loans and things like that. So, you know, obviously, you know, you got to spend money too, but, you know, you got to just be responsible. You know, that's really what it comes down to.
I feel confident now with Peter Marchetti and others there, yourself, you're a businessman. With business people looking at expenditures and where can we cut, and I don't think people are going to get all puffed up if the cuts are explained rationally.
Yeah, like I've said before, the last thing you want to do is see someone lose their job. Right. You know, and that's part of it. You know, a lot of them are contractually, you know, stuck in their job. So do you want to make a cut and have somebody lose their livelihood? No. You know, those are the last things you want to do. But we want to be responsible in where we put our money, you know, where we spend it. You know, do we need X or do we need Y? You know, it's difficult, you know, and we're pretty slim. I mean, there's very slim.
Oh, yeah.
You know, very little wiggle room in our budget, you know, and I think it's going to be that way again this year.
I agree with you too that we are slim. I mean, I think back when I was a kid, I don't know how many people were on the highway department. I mean, they had a lot of folks, and then they had the probably got to be 20, maybe more even years ago. They came and they had a just again a real tight budget, and they had to let people go. And I'm like you. I don't think it. That should be the last resort, letting people.
Right. Well, like, you know, the it's been on the table for a while, you know, a while. I haven't heard it much in the last year or so, but, you know, when it talks about closing a fire station, you know.
Right.
To me, that's minutes, you know, seconds from life and death to close a fire station or to cut police officers. You know, response times will be down, you know, and especially, like you said, a community with a lot of elderly folks that rely on our services.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to make those kinds of cuts.
And the other side of that, too, is it's a yin and a yang. You cut fire stations. You just said it. You add minutes. Guess what? Their insurance companies boost their insurance.
Right. Now you're putting wear and tear on your vehicles. You're paying more overtime. You're down firefighters. You're down officers. You know,
I'm probably not loved by some, but some others do. I think it's time. Civil service to me is an archaic, outdated dinosaur.
I agree.
I think we should get out of it. And we can't wait 18 to 24 months to replace a person because we're paying all that overtime. You know, I watch both chiefs go up there, the police chief and the fire chief. How come your overtime is so much? We got to have so many people on each shift.
And they also, people forget, you know, you want to have a function, but you need an officer there. You know, you want to have, you know, when the vice president came here last year, you got to have the appropriate police presence there.
Yeah.
And that's going to cause overtime, you know, and it's, people don't realize that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you it's, you got all sorts of different scenarios. You know, you want to have a protest, but you guess what? It might be adversarial with other people there. You got to have, just for safety reasons, you got to have officers there. You know, and
want the 4th of July parade.
Yeah.
That everybody loves.
Yep. But that costs money to the city.
But in today's day and age, it isn't like 1948.
No.
When the firemen ran it and the fire, and that was that. My dad was involved in it. Right now, you got to have security because you don't know what nutcase is out.
Especially in the world we live in today. You don't know what's going to happen, what person has a gripe with another group of people. And, it's crazy. It really is.
And, you know, I have to say this, and I hope you agree, because if you don't, well, your dad will never talk to you again. But we got a wonderful fire and police department.
That without question. I speak so highly of those men and women that it's, you know, I'll defend them till I'm blue in the face, you know, and it goes without being said.
I'm the same way, and I'm the same way with the city workers. I get really, I'll say this, I get upset when some people, when the city workers are called up before the council, and some people just, don't they understand, these people are, they're doing the best they can with what they have, and talking to, I love when they say the department heads go, well, I told you that in that meeting we had.
Why are you asking for more money now? It's, well, we told you in January that there's going to be a deficit come July. And, you know, to maintain what we're doing, we need more money.
Yeah. And again, I know there's people who want to stay in civil service. I believe today with union contracts and union representation, you don't need civil service anymore. That was thrown in to protect the civil service people from the politicians. You don't need
that. More and more, you know, communities across the United States are getting out of civil service, and conversely, they're also getting out of the municipal pension system.
Yeah.
Which, you know, obviously people, you know, it's years and years ago, people were getting their job for the pension. You know, my father did, you know, my grandparents did, but it you know, we've come to a time now, it's not as sustainable. No. And it might be worth thinking about the process of transitioning from, you know, when new people come in to get away from the pension system. Yep. Obviously I wouldn't take it away from the people that are already there, but
no,
it's something you should think about, you know, and I don't know how that process is to begin that or talk about it, but it's something that should be considered going down the road.
For the listeners and viewers, I just what just transpired. That's why I like Matthew Rinn, because he's open to at least looking into ways of reducing what the taxpayers have to pay. In municipal pensions now, they got to be pretty hefty for the city of Pittsfield.
Yeah, I mean, life expectancy is increasing, and you know, you got, you know, I think my father retired at 65. You know, I mean, even less. I think it was less than 65.
Yeah.
And you know, you have people retiring in their late 50s and then live another 30 years. You know, and again, you can't take it away from those folks, but get into a different position, like a you know, even like a private annuity. You know, that's, you contribute yourself and you can still collect your Social Security, and you know, you contribute to a 401k on your own. So, you know, you get into a private annuity, that way the money still builds, and it's, you know, not on the city. The city can match, you know, match the pay, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I got that much pull.
There's a lot of ways, but somebody has to open the book to start looking at them. And that's why I think you're an asset to the city council, because you can say these things, you can recommend these things, rather than, you know, the favorite motto for civil service is, well, I've always done it that way.
Was that good enough for government work, right?
Yeah. If I heard that once in my career, I heard it 10,000 times. I mean, Bill, we've always done it that way.
Well, yeah.
We put a man on the moon, too. That was the first, you know. So,
yeah.
But what do you think the challenges are going to be for this budget?
The number one is going to be the schools, obviously. Like you said, the federal funding's been cut. They're going to want to recoup the money there somehow. I just think there's going to be a lot of challenges with the retention of teachers after the last year's, you know, the things that have happened this year. Not having a certified, superintendent's going to be harmful to us.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, you got a superintendent that's on the way out the door. How conservative is he going to be with his budget? They want to put schools together in this restructuring plan. How is this financially good for the city?
Right.
So.
Well, I know I don't know the financial piece, but I can tell you, in my humble opinion, and I'm not an educator, but I've dealt with a lot of juvenile offenders and young youthful offenders, and middle schools just didn't work. I don't know why, but as we've seen, the junior high seemed to work better. I don't know. I guess they're trying some new plans now, some transition.
Yeah.
Or they put that off, I think, for a year. So
I think they put the middle school restructure, I think, is going to be moved forward.
Oh, okay.
For the totality of the schools, I think that was put on hold until they have a dedicated superintendent. But yeah. I could be misinformed, but
it's something.
A lot
like
of challenges.
One of the things that I will say about going back to Jake Eberwein. Dr. Eberwein, calling him Jake. It's Dr. Eberwein, Dr. McCandless, and Joe Curtis. If you ever watch them, and I wish we see more of this on kind of like the city council site, I think the council does it pretty good, is that they come up with research and documentation to back up what they're saying. And that is, to me, very refreshing because, in my past life, it might sound good, but you better prove to the people you're going to talk to that it is good.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you got to be able to substantiate your discussion.
Yeah.
And, I think that's going to be, it may not be pretty, but when the budget times come with the school and the superintendent, I think he's going to be in the hot seat, unfortunately. And it's going to be the most challenging part of the budget, I think. There'll be some challenges in other areas. The library seems to be, some challenges going on there. They're dealing with, a lot of the homeless are hanging around the library. You want to maintain a safe balance with being sensitive to these individuals.
Yeah.
But you also have to realize, where people don't want to go there, they're scared, or they don't feel safe there. So there's a lot of discussions that are going to happen, in regards to that as well.
Yeah, I agree with. I drive by there a lot, and it is kind of a shame. I think, and hats off to Alex and all the crew with the library. They have made like all kinds of accommodations and. They have a food room now. I can remember getting yelled at because I brought a bottle of water in. Not water in here. You don't bring water in here.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, not water.
People sleeping in the periodical room. I mean, yeah. I get it, but that's not what it's for. I mean, there's places for people like that need help.
Right.
You remember when I was a kid, I'd ride my bike there, and there was a bike rack. Now there's shopping carts all over there. Again, I don't want to sound insensitive or, naive to it, but this is what I see. This is what the constituents, this is what the people that pay taxes and live in this city see. And it's a quality of life issue.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'll get burned for my comments for the, being insensitive to homeless, but.
No, I don't think I don't think you are. I think you're, if anything, you're more sensitive because you're bringing out a problem that is not being addressed properly.
Right.
The word properly. Why have people sit in the cold outside? I drove by the other day and I had my heater up to 76 in the car, and there were people huddled in there outside with all their belongings. Well, where are the people that interact there? I know what you're saying. I don't think you're being, I don't, I will not accept the fact you're being heartless or.
Well, I'm sure a lot of folks will disperse from the library when the weather gets warmer. you know, yeah. And that's just the place to go to keep warm. And I'm thinking that that's, you know, the process in the winter, just to, you know, be humane about it. But we'll see, you know, what happens in the future.
And to me, the people that need the help, we've got to find ways of getting them the help. And I'm worried now with all these cuts too. A lot of the social service agencies' budgets will be cut.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, we got to focus on our people here. You know, and I know we take a lot of people in from outside the county. Yeah. You know, I think we got to focus on the people here and get them the resources they need. You know, people will get the resources if they know where to go. They know who to see.
Yeah.
You know, the housing, you know, the new housing coming in should alleviate some of it.
Yeah.
You know, if we can get some folks in there, get them on their feet, get them an address, get some job applications out. And, you know, the ones that can work, we'll go to work. I strongly believe that if the people that really want help, they'll find a way to get it.
I think you're right, and I just hope that we beef up, and it's easy to say, I guess, in the bad times, but we need to ensure these social service agencies can deliver the help.
Yeah, that's another challenge.
Yeah, they're always the first ones to get hammered, you know, and I just worry about that. I really think, trying to get on the bright side of this, I really think what's happened under the new administration, your council, a lot of good things have transpired. And I hope you continue to work. I wouldn't say you work 100% as a team, but you work more than other councils have worked as a team. You especially may be one of the ringleaders to do that.
I hope so. You know, I say we all get along, I think. You know, I don't think necessarily we align politically or socially with each other. But, you know, if we come together for the good of the community, and, you know, it improves everybody's lives, you know, and you know, I'm not one to, like you said before, get on my soapbox and preach what my beliefs are. And, you know, I can agree to disagree, you know, and I've actually changed my mind on several issues, you know, based upon conversations with my colleagues. So, you know, I hope that, you know, if everybody comes back, then great. We'll keep going with what we're doing. If not, we got to figure out how to work together, and no matter what it is, to get a common goal. I mean, we got to stop worrying about, you know, national issues here on the local stage. You know, we got to worry about what's happening in Pittsfield and not, you know, everywhere else.
The only thing I would say, I wouldn't disagree with you, but I would just add this caveat. That is exactly right, unless they directly affect us.
Right.
And like, you know, I look at some of the chatter on the news medias and say, you know, some of the veterans' websites are on fire. Let's wait and see if it happens, but let's not have a stroke before it happens, because it may not happen.
Yeah, true. But, you know, and like, the veterans are an important group of people in this community. And honestly, I don't think they get enough respect. You know, for anybody that served this country deserves the utmost respect from every person that walks this planet. You know, that they put themselves and their life at risk and their family's lives to fight for their country. And, you know, we, you know, kind of stick our nose up at them. And, you know, if it takes a little extra money for the veterans and Mr. Clark over there to, you know, fix and help out some of our veterans in need, then let's do it. You know, let's bend over backwards, you know, let's do what we can to support them as they supported us.
And I will tell you, thank you and all the city councilors that did show up at the Vietnam Services Day last Saturday. I appreciate that as a Vietnam veteran. I see our group gets smaller and smaller every year. And I did some research when I got home, and they're saying now we are dying at 390 a day. So, I thank you for your support of veterans, and Jim Clark, He's worth my weight in gold, and that's a lot of weight.
He's a remarkable human. Yes, he really he is.
Yes, and he works on the Disability Commission too, and
wears a lot of hats.
Yes, he does. And I will have to say this too. I've interviewed the new head, Jennifer Russell of the Senior Center. Magnificent woman. Yep. Couldn't have picked a better person, in my opinion. She's seasoned. She's smart. She's already bringing in grants. So that's the kind of person you want in that job.
100%. You know, and that's what we need to do. I mean, if the grants are there, hopefully we can get them.
You bet. Yeah. Listen,
I know when a lot of our grant writers are very creative on securing these grants too.
They are.
And they're, you know, thinking outside the box to get this money. And it's so far so good. It's working. So hopefully we can you know, maintain the pace we're going and, you know, get things moving forward.
I will say this before I let you go. Thank you for saying that about the grant writers, but a few councils back, I wouldn't have been a grant writer in Pittsfield with a gun to my head. They go in and they say, well, why do we need that? Wait a minute. The state's giving money for public safety or, you know, those public safety grants. It replaces equipment. And I don't know. Is that matching? Do we have to? But anyhow, no. I do want to thank you, Matt, for coming on. And I do want to thank you and your family. Because I don't think people realize that being a ward counselor, he's young, he's got he's got a wife. It isn't just Tuesday nights, every other Tuesday night. It's pretty much every day. A call, it may only be one or two a day, or it could be eight a day, depending on what the call's about. I want to thank you and your family for what you've done to date and for taking papers out to run again.
Well, I've instilled it, you know, my wife's very involved in the community with youth sports and things. And she actually wants to get more involved in the city, you know, as, you know, my kids get older.
Yep.
I've instilled the respect for our veterans into my kids. My daughter walked in the Memorial Day parade last year.
Cool.
She goes to a lot of these veteran events I go to, and she's now found common interest in, you know, world history and history of the military and things like that. So it's definitely, you know, a family affair in my house. You know, I've gone to see folks for some issues in their, you know, street or whatever it may be. Yeah. And I bring my kid with me, you know, as my, you know, my consigliere. I bring my son with me and he'll learn. He's learning things. So it is a family affair. And I appreciate the kind words. It means a lot.
Well, they're not kind. They're truthful. And that's some of my problem is sometimes I'm too truthful. But I look at it this way. I'm 78 years old. I have a terminal lung disease from Agent Orange. What are they going to do, fire me?
You've earned the right to be honest.
Perhaps. I want to thank you, Matthew Wren. Please, folks, Ward 3, Matt Wren, you know what he's done for you, and he's willing to do it again. God love him. Be my best to your mom and dad and your family.
Thanks,
thank you so much.
And always a pleasure.
Everybody out there, and I know some of you get upset with this, but God bless, because that's what I believe. Yeah. And today, try to lift somebody's burden. Make them laugh. Give them a call. If you haven't, wish them well. Let them
bring
go.
Bring their trash barrel in. Something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anything to do it. And remember, we're all in this together, and we need each other. Nobody's a grandstander. And if you are, sooner or later, ask Napoleon what happens. We'll be back. Matt, thanks, bro.
Thanks.
I'll be in touch.
All right. Take care.
Best to everybody.